In an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio. John, you did great. You're a good friend to be able to have done that while I was sitting here cracking up right in front of you. Man, we have such a great team, and we have such a great guest tonight, and who I hope will be half as funny on air as he always is. Well, I tell you, we were cracking up as we usually do. And you know, this is what we get all the time. We get people saying, you guys are having way too much fun over here. What's going on? No matter where we are, whenever we're together, whether it's any of us from the team of Life Changes, and I get to have that with so many of my friends, actually, as well. And so we keep attracting people. And so I recently had somebody ask us in an email, what is the live event, the Life Changes with Filippo live event going to be like? And basically, it's our show, but we get to do it live, but we get to be there all present with all of you and do what we do. And so instead of people saying, you're having way too much fun over there, everybody could be a part of the way too much fun that we're having. And it's really interesting because about 3 weeks ago, I'm a former graduate of the UC San Diego universities, and I get the campus magazine, and so in the alumni UCSD magazine, and in there was an article, and I pulled out the article, and I had it on my dresser for some reason, and forgot all about it. And 3 weeks later, here I am. I look at this article and I thought, well, why did I rip this out? And I didn't know why I ripped it out. And then I saw in bold letters there was something that said, you are 15% more likely to become happy if directly connected to a happy person. And I thought, well, I don't know why I took the article. Maybe it was for that. But I'm going to talk about that today on the radio. And so the little blurb goes on to say 10% if it's the friend of a friend who is happy. So I broke that up, so I should start over. You are 15% more likely to become happy if directly connected to a happy person. 10% if it's the friend of a friend who is happy. And 6% if it's the friend of a friend of a friend who is happy. And I thought, those are really good odds. If you have a friend who is happy, you have 15% more chance, and now I'm saying it the third time, that you are happy, and 10% if it's their friend that's happy. And so that really brought home to me what Life Changes is about, not just the radio show, but the live event especially, because when we go out there, our voice carries and our show carries, and people write us saying, you all sound like you're having too much fun. Can't wait to meet you. They see us and they say, you all sound like you're having too much fun. What's going on over here? And we've heard we want to play in your sandbox. Well, that's what we're doing. We're putting this out there. If our show makes you happy, clap your hands. Hey, well, you're not supposed to be talking until I introduce you. Gosh, nobody but you could ruin my train of thought. So if you clap your hands, where were we? So if our show makes you happy and you go on and have a happy day because you listen to our show, or have a happy week because you came to one of our live events, chances are you're going to be contagious to somebody else, and the percentages are there thanks to the research that they do at UCSD, my old alma mater, you can be happy and spread the happiness. And so is it a coincidence that after I've had this article sitting on my dresser for about 3 weeks and I just happened to find it this morning, And then this morning, I get an email from a friend, and on it, she wrote, "A man's friendships are one of the best measures of his worth." It's a quote by Charles Darwin. And I thought, wow, how interesting that she would write that to me today. And in the body, she wrote, "We are so blessed to have each other in our lives. Thank you for being my friend." And so this friend theme kept coming up, and I thought, wait a minute, that reminds me. Growing up, my father used to love to quote Latin sayings or Italian sayings or Sicilian sayings and sayings from history and poets and all that. And he used to say that there was an old Latin proverb, and he used to say it in Latin. Interestingly enough, when I thought about sharing it with you all, I looked for it today on the internet, and I found it by a Spanish novelist, Miguel de Cervantes. I found it by a Russian who says they said it was a Russian proverb. Somewhere else I saw it as a Swedish proverb. So evidently this proverb is very important, and everybody is laying claims to it. It must be that important. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. So many are quoted as saying that comes from so many cultures. Evidently, friends are very, very important. And they can make us happy, they can make us sad, they can help us through happy times and through sad times. And who we have as friends really shape our lives. I would venture to say that if what the UCSD Alumni Magazine here is saying, that you are 15% more likely to become happy if directly connected to a happy person, I wonder if it's true that you are 15% more likely to be unhappy if you are directly connected to an unhappy person. And maybe when it comes to unhappiness, maybe that percentage is higher, because there may be so much unhappiness around us that it's easier for us to tie into the unhappiness and the unworthiness and the not good enoughs and all of that we get to see in magazines and in advertisements on TV and all of that, that if we have an unhappy friend, maybe we're tying into a lot more unhappiness than we really need to. And so I was just thinking today, as a couple other things happened. Number one, I get asked to be a friend by several people every day on Facebook. But I noticed that I got asked to be a friend by a person who only has one friend. Not one friend in common with me, but one friend, at least on Facebook. And evidently this person has been on Facebook for a while. And I have a few of those, actually. And I don't know these people. And I think, wow, maybe they've heard us on radio. Maybe we've said something, or I've said something that really resonates, and they're connecting in friendship through this thing called Facebook and saying, for some reason, you make me feel a way that I want to feel. You remind me of something that's important, and I sure hope that I'm part of that percentage for that person and for everybody else that's listening. That can make the difference in that person's life and everyone else that's connecting here with us. So come join us on Facebook, for that matter. Be friends with all of us and be on our fan page at Life Changes with Filippo. We are a growing family of people that love to have fun, love to look at things a different way, love to explore, and love to laugh, and a lot of other things. So speaking of a lot of other things, our guest tonight is a lot of things. He has been a friend to us, and he comes to us through one of our producers, Mark Lejeure, who said, "I have this friend, and he's one of my best friends." And ironically, best is in his name. He's a chiropractor. He's a kinesiologist. He's a theta healer. He's certified in theta healing and kinesiology, and teaches it and certifies other people. And he has a private practice where he helps people change their lives by what he does to them. But he's writing a book about how people can change their own lives. And in his own words, how to rewrite our lives. And the book is called Rewrite Your Life, an Owner's Manual. And then there's another book coming out that he'll tell us more about. So please welcome to the show, Dr. Ken Best.
Thanks, Felipe.
And you're laughing already. Don't get me started. You know, actually, do you use laughter in your healing yet?
No. Not really.
Do your patients know how funny you are?
No, not at all.
Seriously? No, you're kidding.
No, I'm not, because nobody knows what I'm joking.
Really?
Because I always say things so seriously that people take me seriously, and I have to say, by the way, I'm joking.
Oh, wow. Well, because you're a very smart guy, and you come across very, like a know-it-all. And, I mean, like someone who knows, that came out wrong.
just a little bit.
Like someone who knows so much. And so sometimes, even me, when I'm listening to you talk, I listen to, you know, there's some great wisdom that's going to come out of you, and sometimes it's funny, and even in the funny, there's wisdom.
But you have to be careful joking with patients, because sometimes, you know, you don't know if you're going to trigger them or there's something deeper, and so sometimes they don't want you making light of their story, you know, so you have to find where laughter is appropriate.
Well, that's all we like to do here is make light of all stories. So tell us your story so we can make light of it. No, I mean, interestingly enough, that has been part of my journey, is to learn to laugh at myself, with myself, look at my life much lighter. You're laughing. I don't know. I don't care what you're going to say. Just don't say it. We know what chiropractic is. Chiropractic, can you say that?
Chiropractic.
Chiropractics is. Kinesiology. Tell us what that is.
Applied kinesiology. It was developed by Dr. Goodhart back in the 60s or 70s. The guy was a genius in his own right. And what he found was that organs and muscles have a relationship, and that the body is just a big proprioceptive computer machine, and it's all worked through the nervous system. And so the proprioception and testing it is through testing the muscles and how that your internal computer is working. And so you can find through muscle testing if things are besides just spinal problems or imbalances in the muscles, you can find relationships to, like, if your liver is toxic. Like, okay, your liver looks a little toxic.
Thank you. Can we save this for after the show?
Okay. So, applied kinesiology is a great adjunctive tool to look deeper into the body. And having become kind of a master at applied kinesiology over the last 15 years, I assisted teaching it for 7 years. And you can apply it to so many other different techniques out there, and you can find so much more information. There's a really interesting book out there by, I'm going to forget his name. Just forgot it.
It might come.
So, testing the truth and falsehood of things, and testing the calibration of a person. So you can see where a person's at and what their issues are going to be based upon their calibration. You know, as far as being the calibration, they could be stuck at willingness, like they're not willing to love themselves. Or it could be acceptance, not accepting that they love themselves or accepting that others are loving them. Even when that's something that they want, they're not accepting it, so they don't even realize that other people are loving them. So it could be in their life, but their perspective is so skewed because their core beliefs, which we'll talk about later, are blocking that vision.
So it's basically, you're not fixing anything with applied kinesiology. It's a tool to help you decipher what's going on.
The applied kinesiology tells you what to do to fix things.
Okay.
So we are fixing it indirectly using it, applied kinesiology.
Okay. So somebody could say, sure, I love myself, but they really don't.
Correct.
Okay.
So if you do a muscle test and you say, I love myself, and I muscle test you, you go weak, your body's telling me that you don't really believe it on a subconscious level.
Okay. Does it take long?
No.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
I'm afraid. Okay, what do I have to do?
Don't be afraid. So I'm going to do a finger test. So we're going to pull your fingers apart. Hold these.
And this is
together.
To test if I love myself, because I think I love myself.
I think you love yourself too, but you might also hate yourself.
Oh.
Or you might not feel that you're lovable.
Oh, wow.
So there's many aspects and semantics of the way you can look at how you accept or receive, understand, knowing it.
Okay.
Okay, hold strong.
Okay.
I'm gonna pull. So what we're doing is we're testing for a yes and a no.
So okay, so he's got my thumb and my
ring finger.
My ring finger held together. I'm holding them together really strongly, and he's pulling them apart.
So say this is my yes.
This is my yes.
Good. So
okay.
This is my no.
So when I said that, my fingers held together really strongly, and he wasn't able to open them. I mean, I'm sure if you used a crowbar, you could, but...
Right, you want to use the same pressure. It's not like a tug of war.
Okay, so that was my yes very strongly. So I say now, this is my no, this is my no. Okay, and my fingers came wide apart. That's interesting. And I was still trying to hold tight.
And it was pretty easy.
For you? Okay.
Yeah. All right. So say my name's Filippo.
I am Filippo.
Yeah, you are.
And my fingers held strongly together.
Say I'm a puppy dog.
I am a puppy dog.
No.
Well, good.
So we can confirm.
My fingers opened up. I'm not a puppy dog. Okay.
All right. So say I love myself.
I love myself.
Oh.
Wow. They opened up just a tiny bit.
Maybe you love
Maybe
yourself.
I love myself. Okay, no. I love myself.
What's wrong?
Oh, damn.
Maybe you didn't want to find this out on air.
Okay, let's break the station identification or something. Okay. All right, so what do we do now?
But let's try this.
Okay.
Well, we would change it.
Okay.
Let's say it's okay to love myself.
It's okay to love myself.
Well, so, no.
Wow. Okay, so I have a core belief that it's not okay to love myself according to this.
Right.
Wow.
I'll say loving yourself is selfish.
Okay, you're going to make me cry now.
Okay.
No, it's easy, okay for you, but I'm on radio. I don't know about you. Okay, this has been Life Changes with Filippo. And our guest has been... Okay, what am I supposed to say? It's okay for me to love... No, what did you say?
Well, we already tested it's okay to love myself.
Okay, and that didn't work. Okay.
Right. It's wrong. It's selfish to love myself.
It's selfish to love myself. Well, there it is. That's
no, that was no.
Oh, no.
It's selfish to love myself.
It's selfish to love myself.
No, so that wasn't
it. Oh, that's not it. Okay. Because it opened wide up, which means that's false.
Right.
That I do believe that it's not selfish for us to love ourselves.
Correct.
Okay.
So what I would ask you is, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? Why is it not okay to love yourself? First thing, don't think about it.
I'm not worthy.
I'm worthy of loving myself.
I'm worthy of loving myself.
No, I'm worthy.
Because it opened up, so...
So I'm weak.
I'm weak. Okay. That statement does not ring true for me. Huh. Okay, so I am worthy. And it's opening up saying that's not true, I don't feel that.
So if I ask you, how come you don't feel worthy? Not
okay, so now we know how that works.
So we'd want to find the core.
This is sad.
That's not sad. Because here's the thing.
I thought I was already fixed. See, I fixed myself before coming on radio, before doing a show.
See, you said you wanted to come and do this before being on air. And then maybe
I did say we should have done this. I knew it. Wow, this is fascinating.
So now we know we definitely need to.
We need to work. So in a session, we would keep doing that.
Until we find out what the bottom issue is.
I mean, I'd do it right now, but I just don't think it's as interesting for the folks listening in.
Oh, it could get really interesting.
Because they really can't see what's going on, and I have to explain it.
Yeah, but when you get down to the core issue, it's usually pretty emotional.
Wow. You were going to make me cry.
Probably.
You were just going to let me do that. Wow. So now I know what kind of... Let me test you. Okay. You are a sadomasochist. Okay, so theta healing. So I'm assuming you use applied kinesiology to get a tool, and then you use theta healing to, like, fix me, or people.
Well, so we went from applied kinesiology to theta healing, which are two completely separate things.
Okay.
They happen to use muscle testing in theta healing.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's applied kinesiology.
Oh, okay.
Having been an applied kinesiologist, I teach people how to muscle test correctly, because there's a lot of ways that people cheat or don't pull strong, they change the angle, so you get misinformation.
Okay.
So it really takes not caring what the outcome, like I didn't care what the outcome was.
Well, thanks a lot.
No. So I could be objective.
Right, okay.
So that if I get my subjectivity into it, I want to change the test.
Right.
But I'm willing to be surprised that you didn't love yourself on a subconscious level.
Okay.
Now on a conscious level, you do choose to love yourself, but in other ways in your life, you'll do things that are unloving for yourself because at some core level, you don't believe that you love yourself or that it's okay to love yourself.
Wow, this is interesting. So that also brings up the fact that you really have to go to somebody, A, who knows what they're doing, B, who can separate themselves, and allow it to be what it is. And some people do get involved.
Right, because I've been to practitioners either in applied kinesiology, which is AK, or in theta healing, because they, let's say they clear the issue, they expect it to be gone. Well, sometimes it's not gone if you haven't got the deeper issue. So sometimes you have to continue digging, and you have to be willing to see that it might have been fixed right away, or it might take a little bit more to fix the situation.
Wow. Wow, this is great. So I still don't understand the theta healing, though. Is it energy? It's energy work.
Well, I worked with Vianna Steibel back in 2000, and she's been doing this for, she discovered this on her own, curing herself of cancer and leukemia. She had done the homeopathic route, and she did the allopathic route. So she tried the drugs, and she tried the homeopathics, she tried detoxing and everything, and she was still dying of cancer. Mm. So nothing was really working. But she was a really gifted psychic. And when she would ask God why she couldn't heal herself, she would hear that you already know how to. And she's like, great, well, this doesn't do me any good because I still don't really know how to heal myself. Yes. And it was actually the way she connects to the Creator, to God, that was the space to go in and make certain commands to the body to change the body.
Hmm.
So, because the body is basically like a computer, and we have these programs that tell it how to run, and so we're born with these programs as well as we develop programs between, a lot of them between the ages of 6 and 7, before age 6 and 7, you know. But we're also born with genetic programs and programs from really deep genetics, which some people call past lives. And I don't want to debate whether past lives are real or not. But so we come in with a lot of these programs, and they present challenges in our lives.
You know, it's interesting because I happily have a lot of friends that have, and family that have babies in our lives, in my life, and I get to see the different personalities and the traits that they have right off the bat. So where does that come from? So it has to come from something. So so that's like a pre-programming thing. So the theta allows you to connect energetically somehow.
So we're connecting energetically with the quantum field, with God, Creator, whatever you want to call it, the zero-point field. It's that collective consciousness where all the information is available to really know what unconditional love is or what peace or joy is, because our view on what love is could be the painful love that we grew up with and being punished and feeling guilty about things. You know, that can have all these other connections to love, and so that's not really what love is.
Wow.
So maybe you don't want to love yourself if you grew up in a family where love was painful. Because maybe you don't want pain anymore. So that's where we might have gone deeper, is to find something like that.
And so then you go in and you clear that.
We give you God's definition or Creator's definition or whatever you want to call it. It's the definition of what love is, so your body really knows what it is from the purest form. And then it can make a judgment and decide if your body wants that. You know, we're not changing anything. We're giving you choices to see clearer.
Yeah, I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me. But we can do that after the show.
Okay.
So that's something that you do, and to help somebody. Now you're saying that there's so much that we could do to help ourselves, and you're saying that we could change our lives by rewriting our lives.
Right.
And what do you mean by rewriting?
So, you know, after the last 30 years of trying to fix my own brain, and you know, I dealt with being depressed in my 20s like so many people are, and you know, looking at it from a theta healing perspective, we all sort of go through the same journey, whether we're born in a rich family or a poor family, because we have a lot of these same programs in there. I mean, probably 80-90% of people have the program that they're abandoned, even if they're not abandoned by their family, but feel abandoned in some way.
Mm.
So that makes it difficult to hold relationships, because you're going to seek out relationships where somebody does abandon you. And if they don't, you're going to push them away.
Wow.
So it makes relationships very difficult. So to go back to your question, how do people help themselves? So I started doing workshops where I found that theta healing was a really big key, like maybe 30% of the pie. So changing your core beliefs, because those are sabotaging things you want to create in your life. and they get in your way. But still, ultimately, even if you have the program, I'm stupid and it'll never amount to anything, you still have the choice what you're going to do with that. So you can act against it or go with it. And where that inherent choice comes from, I mean, who really knows what makes you the soul you are that comes in and makes that choice. But still, it makes it more difficult to create the things you want if you have programs that make you feel unworthy at some level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be that doubt in your mind if you're really worth, you know, making $200 an hour or $300 an hour or $1 million in a year.
Yeah.
So what I found is that even after I've cleared, you know, I clear at least 10 programs on myself a day.
Wow.
And that's after having done this for 10 years, you know, because as I talk, I hear myself talk and I'm going, oh, well, that's a belief system.
Wow. Wow.
That's not a truth.
What, give us an example. What is said? Like you said, like I'm stupid or.
Well, like I went to the bank, I don't know, 5 years ago, and I thought I had cleared all my issues around money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to the bank to make a deposit. Everything was good. And just the fact that I had to spend the time and go to the bank, I'm in my car and I'm getting out at the bank and I go, God, I hate money. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, oops, missed that core belief. I still hate money.
We do that all the time.
Yeah.
We do that. We hear that all the time.
Yeah.
From people. I mean, our friends, we say, oh, I just did something stupid, or oh, I'm so stupid, I'm an idiot. I hear that all the time from so many friends.
And they're just reinforcing the programs. So I was telling you on the phone that you can have dual belief programs. So you can have one that supports you and then one that sabotages what you're creating. And that happens like, say, a child spills its milk. You know, it's a five-year-old child, and the parents had a long day at work, and they're frustrated. The child spills the milk, and out of frustration, they just say, why'd you do that? You're so stupid, or why are you so stupid?
Right.
You know, and they're angry and they're frustrated, but they don't really mean the child's stupid. They're just frustrated.
Right.
And then on a subconscious level, a child takes in that program because it's their authority figure. They don't have a lot of discernment before the age of 6 or 7. That's why I put that random age there. And so they accept that program into their psyche. And then they may do something like put together a very difficult puzzle, and the parent comes over and gives them a kiss and says, oh, you're so smart. How did you do that so fast?
Mm.
And so now the kid has a program that I'm smart. So now they have, I'm smart and I'm stupid.
So it's like a computer that has both programs in there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And in a computer, either you hit a button which triggers the program to run, or both programs are running because you got both programs running.
Right.
And then, so you'll do something really good for yourself, and then you'll do something really stupid. So it's like I was saying that this person can get straight A's in school, and then they're as a teenager, they back their car into a tree, and they go, oh, why am I so stupid? Because the programs still want to run. They still want to,
You know. So like in the computer, so you're pushing the button to run this computer and you're pushing the button to run that computer, and we push each other's buttons, or we push our own sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Triggers. So that's another part that I was telling you on the phone was that so changing your programs may be, let's say, 30% of rewriting your life, but our brain is also really hardwired to go in certain
paths. Oh, yeah, I like this. This
and
is amazing.
And hard wiring is really hard to get around,
mm-hmm,
because our brain just automatically goes there, and we don't know it's doing that. And right. We don't know how to stop it. And also, it's familiar to us. It's our comfort zone. We're used to getting depressed as soon as somebody says this to us. We're used to getting angry when somebody says a specific word. And so problem is you can enter a new relationship, and you're really working off a relationship 3 relationships ago because it's an old trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So when this new person says one word and you get triggered into anger with just a couple words, which normally should take at least 10 minutes, you know, or an hour to get so angry that you're in a rage, right? So this shortcut is created in the brain. And then it goes to the hypothalamus, and that starts secreting chemicals, and then your whole body is actually physically, chemically enraged and angered, because anger has a function. It's to get your body fired up and ready to fight.
So if as a child, like, you know, it's not just our parents, it's whatever. Let's say another kid used to call us stupid or something. And so if, as a child, a kid would call you stupid, and then that creates a hardwired groove kind of thing or in our brain, hardwired, as you said. And then you said something interesting, that a shortcut is created. So every time that child calls you stupid, it doesn't take you that long to get angry. Now, as an adult, you could be in a relationship and someone says, that's so stupid, or you don't be stupid, or whatever. I'm not stupid. Stop calling me. You know, go right into this rage because it was a shortcut created from that trigger.
Back when you're 12 years old.
Back there. Wow.
And
it gets shorter and shorter. And so that's the short fuse people talk about.
Right. Well, that's the brain's function. If you see a repetitive action, then it starts linking up neurons to make it quicker because it thinks that's what you want to get to.
And actually, that works in our favor if it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, but if it's...
You don't want to have to think about how you walk every day. It's a repetitive function, so you have a shortcut, and your body makes you walk, and you don't even think about lifting up your legs to walk. You're talking and chewing gum and throwing darts. I don't know where it came from.
Right. Walking, chewing gum, and throwing darts. I hope you stand still to throw the darts. But in any event... Okay, so then what do we do?
So to break a trigger, I mean, it's kind of a little lengthy to get into at this point.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to go into that whole thing.
Well, and it's in your book. So tell us about that first, and give us a little.
So the book he's talking about, Rewriting Your Life, an Owner's Manual, is the workbook that I created for workshops that I do. It's basically like a boot camp. So I can teach people on a weekend the tools that they need to rewire their brain so they can get out of these things that are causing them to sabotage themselves so they can have more happiness in their life and find the programs that are sabotaging their happiness and realizing where you're giving your happiness away, because really happiness comes from the inside, and we make it about things. So it allows us to get into the moment and feel that happiness.
Mm.
So one major area is triggers. And because they take you out of the ability to have a conversation at that point. Because if you trigger me and those chemicals start spilling, I can't hear you anymore. And my body's out of control.
Mm.
And the first time I made this technique up and I was trying it, and I was at lunch with a friend, and I had done it before, and we were at lunch, and he said a couple words, and it triggered me, and I went and got very angry, and I was like ready to throw him into the oncoming traffic because we were sitting outside, and on the outside of me, I could see like, why am I getting so angry? But I couldn't stop myself from feeling it course through my body. I was like ready to get up and leave because I was so angry. And he goes, oh, do your thing.
Oh.
And I was like, God, I hate when people know my stuff. So I closed my eyes. And when you practice it, it's basically essentially self-hypnosis. So you're rewiring yourself and telling your body not to go down that pathway anymore.
Mm.
And so when you do this repeatedly, your brain figures out, oh, you're doing that thing. So now in 10 seconds, I can break a trigger. And in the beginning, it may take 2 or 3 minutes. So literally, I went to my brain, I said, stop, cancel, cancel, cancel. I actually saw like these red cancel symbols. And I'm like the owner of a factory, which is at the hypothalamus, which is in the brain that produces the chemicals.
Okay.
And I get on the speaker and I say, stop, cancel.
Okay, this is all happening
stop,
in your head.
Stop, cancel. Yes, all in my head.
Okay.
Not out loud.
All right.
And so because the brain likes to work with symbols, because it gets things done quicker, because it knows the underlying meaning.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right. So you're putting a symbol in your mind of stop and canceling.
Where I'm going with what just happened.
Okay.
As soon as it happens. The quicker you can do it, the brain can connect what the problem is. It's like potty training a dog. You don't wait an hour to yell at it for peeing on the carpet.
Right.
You have to catch it right away, say no, and bring it outside.
Right. And this is really interesting, actually. You said, if you don't catch it right away, then... notice when it comes up again, like you're telling a friend, like, I was at lunch with a friend of mine today, and he said, and then it starts happening again, and you get angry. And it's interesting, because you watch people, and they tell their old stories.
And they get re-triggered.
They get just as angry as they were then, and you can just see it in their eyes, and then it's like, wait a minute, it wasn't me, I wasn't there.
And the thing is, that this is giving away your power.
Oh, and you're losing power, whether, yeah.
Because you're allowing something so simple as a couple words to maybe ruin your whole day or even your whole week.
Or your life. I mean, you could get fired over this, or you could, I mean, you know, you could get lose a relationship over
this. Well, because you become out of control.
Right. Okay, so you just went into your mind's eye and you said, cancel, stop the presses.
Right, so I'm on the speaker with the workers, and then I watch them go and start backing up the chemicals.
Okay. Oh, the chemicals that would have been
the chemicals of anger.
Wow.
That are spilling out into my body.
Wow.
And so my intention is to lower my level of anger down to a 0 from a 10.
Okay.
And so for me, it's like walking downstairs. So I don't walk down to the next step till I've lowered my level of anger one piece.
Okay.
So when I get to 0, I'm at peace. And so the funny thing was, with this person, I had my eyes closed. As soon as I got to 0, I hadn't even done anything. And he goes, oh, that's better. Because he could see the change in my face.
Wow.
And then I just started laughing about it, because it was so funny. And it completely changed the course of that moment and that day that, you know, I could have ended up leaving at that moment.
You could have ended up throwing him in the Hong Kong traffic.
And being jailed.
And we wouldn't have the benefit of all this. So it's because, yeah, your body goes into fright or fight or flight. And so,
yeah.
So all this stuff happens. So the thing is, what I like, too, about this is you're not ignoring it. You're not saying, oh, I should be over this. Or you're not saying, you know, that's a child thing, get over it kind of thing.
Right.
And you're also not saying that the person who triggered it did the right thing. I mean, you could still come to peace with the trigger and say, okay, I don't need this anymore, but I also don't need you talking to me like this anymore, or whatever it is. But you're doing it from a place of calm and control, as opposed to...
Yeah, but here's the thing. So later, when this happened again, so... Clearing a trigger should only take 1 or 2 times and you should be done with it. But a person can trigger you many different ways, the same person. So you have to clear whatever those triggers are. And it was actually this same person had said something to me, and I thought for sure I was going to get triggered. And what happened was, instead of getting triggered, because I realized it in the moment, and I was waiting for my body to, like, resist or get angry.
Interesting.
And I felt nothing. And I was like, wow. I'm not giving my power away. It's not taking control of me. And when I look at what was said, it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Wow.
So I wasn't validating what they were saying, but I was also not making something way more out of what they said.
Wow.
Which happens when you get triggered and these chemicals start spilling, and then you start creating a whole story in your head of what was actually said, when it was just something, you know, maybe not the nicest thing, but wasn't nearly... that offensive.
Oh, actually, it could be something nice, like, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Because maybe when they were a child, they were teased, or even in a relationship, they were teased, oh, you think you're beautiful, beautiful.
You only like me because I'm beautiful.
Yeah. Want something like that.
Right.
So, you said something that I really liked. We were having a conversation about a story that I've used many times about how we could use what we're told or how we grew up or whatever. But you took it a step further beyond, and it helped me understand so many things from that conversation. And that was the story about the parent who tells the child, you'll never amount to anything. To me, it's usually the one about, you know, okay, the parent who tells his two children they'll never amount to anything. And one child becomes something and the other child doesn't. And if you were to ask one child that became something, he'd say, of course I became something because my father kept saying that I wouldn't and I was going to prove him wrong. Right. And the other child would say, of course I never became anything because my father kept telling me I didn't become anything. And so I used to think that's how we take that in and we use it how we want to use it, and you talked about that at the beginning, or we use it how we come to use it or how we, whatever. But you took it one step further, and you said that the one who does attain everything or become something
still has the program running.
Still has the other program running.
They can't relax and enjoy what they've made in their life. I've worked on many multimillionaires, but they're still not really happy in their lives. And their family's unhappy. And, you know, you would think these kids have everything so that they would be happy, but, you know, some of them are even suicidal because they don't feel and they're not connected to the love and everything that's going on with the family. And you talk to them, and they're like, well, I need to become a billionaire. And I'm like, do you really? Mm. Is that really what you want? What is that going to get you? Why do you want this?
Right.
Can you have happiness and joy in your life without being a billionaire? Or can you have it now and then allow yourself to become a billionaire?
Right.
And not push away the happiness and the joy in your life right now. So
because the truth is they'll become a billionaire and still not be happy because that other program is still running.
Yeah, because they're still unhappy right now. You carry with your happiness no matter where you are. So in this person, they had the program, they felt like a failure. Hmm. Now here they are, they're worth millions of dollars, but they still felt like a failure because that's what they were told by their father, that they were stupid and they'll never amount to anything. But they proved them wrong. But now they're still working that program, so they always think they have to strive to the next level because it's not good enough.
Wow.
And so when you change that program in them, they can actually stop and relax and enjoy their life. They can still go out and make more money, but now they don't have to be so... Now, the thing is that maybe that being driven helped them get to that spot.
Right.
But, you know, you still want to have happiness and joy along the way.
Well, they were out of balance.
Yeah.
And so many people so many of us are, some of us have because I could see that applying to not just money. I mean, you'll never find somebody to love you, or you'll never, you know.
So you have everybody love you?
Well, evidently I'm the one that doesn't love myself. Back to the beginning of the show, you have to admit that was pretty brave of me to do that.
You might have chosen a different thing.
I also did it because I was pretty confident that I love myself. So that's interesting. No, I was willing to allow it to be whatever it was going to be. I'm not afraid I'm afraid of a lot less things.
It doesn't mean that you're not doing loving things for yourself, and it doesn't mean that you don't really love yourself. But you do have a program
running still, right?
That isn't allowing you to really realize it as deeply as you could.
Wow. Yeah, and who knows what that's stopping, both for myself or for other people. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, and I'm glad I discovered that, and I'm glad I get to come to you to help me
clear it.
So how do people get to you?
How do people get to me?
Yeah, cars, planes, trains, I know, but give us your website, because I know you have private practice, but I also know that there's a book that they could learn about. I don't know if you still do seminars.
I'm actually going to be setting up a seminar at the Bodhi Tree, which is just a couple hour. Kind of a pre-talk before doing a boot camp weekend.
Oh, great.
And I'm looking at creating some sort of ongoing program for people to help support them. Because these techniques that you need to practice, once you put them into practice and it becomes kind of second nature, you don't allow your brain to go down that old groove.
Hmm.
But anyway, to answer your question, my website is manylevels.com. That's many levels with an S. And then I'll be putting a link on there for the workbook for people who want to get the workbook, just to look at that and learn the techniques on their own.
And you're writing a new book.
And I'm writing a new book, which is Rewriting Your Life Without the Owner's Manual part.
Okay. And the Owner's Manual then will be supplemental.
Because I was doing the workbook first so that I could...
Because you were doing the workshop, so people could have that as a supplement to that. But if they don't get to have the benefit of the workshop, they get to read the book.
Yeah.
And then get the book manual as well. You are so much fun. You know, your friends know you're funny, right? I'm not the only one. Am I the only friend? Are you the one that asked me to be your friend on Facebook and I'm your only friend?
I think they know I'm funny. I guess.
All right, well, you're a very funny man. You got so much to offer, and I know we didn't even cover half of what we've talked about in the short time that we've gotten to know each other, but I look forward to learning more and getting to share more with the audience, and you're amazing. I can't wait to have you back on the show and have you at one of our live events so people can enjoy you. Maybe we could have somebody else stand in the hot seat and you can test them instead of me. Please help us thank chiropractor, applied kinesiologist, and theta healer, Dr. Ken Best.
Thank you.
Stick around so we can chat afterwards. And now we have our very own Stacy Hess, who's our publicist, and she's, what's the name of your company, Something Positive?
Positive PR.
Positive PR. What a great name.
I have a Facebook fan page now.
You do? Uh-huh. Just for you. Oh, wait a minute. Of course you do. I'm your friend.
You're my fan.
Positive PR. I was your 10th friend, and now it's growing and growing.
I know. So everybody should join my fan page. And then you can see all the cool stuff we're doing.
Yes.
Events, pictures, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I like the one coming up.
Yes. Oh, wait. Is there something coming up? We have a live event. I heard about that.
I can't wait, I think
it's on my calendar or something.
I can't wait for it to finally happen. I mean, it's so exciting. We're just can't wait to just do one because
it's almost like Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is Friday is my birthday. Don't act surprised. And to me, it was like Tuesday, tomorrow we're doing this big event.
I know. It is big.
And to me, it's like people are saying, what are you doing for your birthday? I'm like, I don't know. The 23rd seems to me like my birthday enough. Plus, it feels like it's always my birthday. I mean, look, we're having so much fun. I mean, how many people have this much fun on their birthday?
Well, I know, and you wear your birthday suit every day, too.
On the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should be glad it's a radio show.
You should be glad.
I'm just kidding.
Listen to you.
The beautiful, beautiful man. Speaking of beautiful men.
Yes.
Guess who's on the luminary list?
Nice segue.
My God, I should do a live event.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, no, but I was going to say, it's like people are still saying, what are you doing for your birthday? It's like, the 23rd is just 3 days before my birthday. It's like, isn't that party enough?
And
it's
like, is.
No, people still want to celebrate my birthday, which brings me back to the friend thing. We're happy, how lucky we are to have these kinds of friends.
I know.
Like you, I got to see you the day before your birthday. A lot of us did.
I know.
And then the next day, we all came to your birthday party.
It was so fun.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
So, anyways,
it was fun. But this next guy, I'm looking over your shoulder here, he wasn't at the party, not this time.
No, not yet, but, he is single.
Okay, so tell us about him.
And, he used to have a pet pig.
A pet pig. It's okay, I have to tell you this. Stacy has a pet peeve for pet pigs. Or not a pet peeve.
Your neighbor has the most adorable pig named Peggy.
True.
Peggy the Piggy. Anyway, I got to meet Peggy the Piggy the other day, and she was really wonderful. I met her owner, too, but unfortunately, I don't remember his name. It's terrible. I was really just interested in the pig.
Well, who was the owner of the pig that you're talking about there?
Oh, that pig. The owner of that pig is George Clooney.
George Clooney had a pig?
Yeah, he had a potbelly pig, and it lived to be 18 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, today we're going to talk about, as I said, speaking of beautiful men, we're going to talk about four of who I think are the most beautiful men in Hollywood, and that's George Clooney and Don Cheadle and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt.
What about them?
Well, not only are they beautiful on the outside, if this is a little cheesy,
they're
beautiful on the inside, too, and they shine. They really do. So the reason I'm talking about them is there's this organization called Not On Our Watch, and some of our listeners may have read a book that Don Cheadle wrote several years ago called Not On Our Watch, which spurred the development of this nonprofit organization. But what this organization does is supports humanitarian efforts in Darfur. So a few months ago, the UN has this thing called the Humanitarian Air Service, and they have 24 airplanes and helicopters that fly into Darfur and deliver supplies to the relief workers there. And the relief workers are doing everything from feeding people to healthcare, everything. So they ran out of money. And at the last minute, George Clooney and Don Cheadle and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt came in, and they gave them $500,000 to keep their operations going.
Wow.
That happened, the previous year they had actually donated $1 million to them. So, these are four men who are really, really giving back. But beyond that, just before they gave that money, and we'll talk about a lovely woman, Drew Barrymore, made a $1 million donation to Not On Our Watch. On the Oprah Winfrey Show. And she made that donation because she had visited Darfur and she had seen the difference that these people were making in children's lives. So the organization is not on our watch, and it's N-O-O-W, so now, but it's not on our watch.org. And you can donate to the organization on their website. And I would encourage you to do so because they're doing really amazing work and they're saving lives every day.
Wow.
And the organization was started and is mostly supported by these four amazing gentlemen.
Wow. Stacy, thank you for bringing us this. I didn't know about it. And all I saw was a picture of George Clooney there.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well,
so what's...
the reason I brought it, sorry to interrupt you there, darling, but the reason I brought it is
you,
because
sweetheart.
Lots of people don't know about this organization and they don't know that these guys are doing that work. So it's really important to talk about it.
I think it's great, and we're going to have links on our website eventually when we get to that.
We will.
So that people can go to and see the whole luminary list and learn more about people that are doing
exactly.
great things.
Exactly.
And remind everybody to come and share.
Come to our website and share your luminary stories with us so that I can share them on the air. And join my Facebook fan group.
There we go again.
Yay!
All right.
And come to our live event. Okay, those are all my gratuitous
You've done your PR
for
support. The day. Thank right. you, Stacy Hess of Positive PR for the Luminary List. And now we have our very own cosmic advisor, Dorothy Lee, who's going to be sharing with us the State of the Universe Address. I just love that name. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Felipe.
What have you got for us today?
I have a continuation of last week. Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements, is on my highly recommended book list for many reasons. If you haven't read it, please do so. Last week, I spoke about his number one agreement, which is this: be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Several people have shared with me that they believe they're being impeccable with their word, but that it doesn't seem to be working for them the way they believe it should. After all, they say, this is the secret, according to the movie and the book. I'm going to share with you a little more about this number one agreement because it is of vital importance to our futures that we truly understand what this agreement means. Our thoughts become our beliefs. Our beliefs become our words. Our words become our feelings. And our feelings become our actions. Our actions become our character, and our character becomes our destiny. So although you may believe you are speaking truth, are you really? And are you thinking truth, believing truth, feeling and living truth as well? For example, I have a wonderful friend who has completed all of his required courses to become a doctor and has even passed one of the two tests necessary to become an MD. However, due to an illness, he was unable to complete the final test, and now that he is well several years later, he's thinking about getting back into med school to get his MD. He has asked from some powerful friends for help in getting him readmitted so that he can take the second test. He asked me what he was doing wrong because he has not yet been readmitted, even with powerful help. After asking a few questions, I was able to assist my friend in discovering how he was sabotaging himself by not being in alignment with his thoughts, beliefs, words, feelings, and actions. Although he was thinking it would be great status to have an MD degree, he realized that his thoughts were not in alignment with his feelings and his spoken words to his friends. When I asked if he really wanted to practice medicine, he said that he didn't feel that being a doctor is his real future because there were so many other things he wanted to do. This disconnect between his thoughts, words, feelings was making it impossible for his friends to help him get back into med school. Remember, we are the co-creators of this thing called life on Earth, and it's time to become very conscious co-creators. We must choose to be impeccable with all of our thoughts, beliefs, actions, and feelings, as well as with our words, if we wish to manifest our destiny. My friend discovered that he was also feeling very guilty about not really wanting to complete his studies. He is now examining himself to determine where he wants to put his energies. I urge each of you to do some self-examination. If you find you're not manifesting your hopes, dreams, and desires as quickly as you'd like, ask yourself if your beliefs and thoughts are in alignment with your words, feelings, and actions. I highly recommend our guest, Dr. Ken Best's book, to assist you in doing so. It's a great owner's manual. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices, and please know that you are loved. You are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. Wow. Well, that hits home. Especially after what happened to me during the show. Wait, Dorothy, before you go, I might need some help from you too, because Dorothy does healing. She does a healing, awakening, accelerating, and activating, and so much more. Talk about connecting and helping us connect. And you heard at the beginning of the show that according to Dr. Ken Best, and my body is telling him that I do not love myself, and maybe I don't.
Has anyone else ever?
Yeah, a lot of people have said that, but I. Okay, maybe this isn't a good idea to talk about this now, but you can imagine it's been on my mind. No, we can talk about this later, but I just wanted. Just wanted you to be aware before you left that we had something to talk about on that as well. And I'm certainly feel like I am acting more and attracting more love into my life in so many ways. So I believe, like you said, I'm running the program of love. I'm loving myself. And then somewhere there's the program running too. It's like I'm not deserving of it.
And that's with almost every human being. You're not unique in that. We have been so programmed to believe that we are not lovable. So it takes more than just a few I love myself to really make it become real for us. It took me, oh my God, you could know how old I am if I told you. It took me almost all of my life to really get to the point where I love me without any conditions whatsoever. And you're much closer to it.
You know, actually, I'd have to say that you're the closest person to it than I've ever seen. And I know a lot of people, but you go around singing, "I'm so happy," and you do things happily, and I've seen things happen to you and at you, and they roll off your shoulders and your back, and you just, oh, that's the way they are right now. And as long as I've known you and as well as I know you, I felt like I would have caught you on something. But I haven't, and so if I haven't, that means it's just not there. And I'm surprised and very happy for you. So hopefully, I'm like when I started the show. You know, I'm happier because I know somebody happy, and some from your happiness to mine to everybody else that we're sharing it with. So thank you for sharing happiness with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for being who you are.
Well, thank you. And I will promise I will love myself even more. And I thank, again, Dr. Ken Best for sharing that with me and sharing all that he did with us on the show. We invite you to learn more about him by going to our show archives and our website and clicking on the respective links for more information. And you can hear the show again, and as well as all the other shows there that we have had up till now. We look forward to being together again with you next week when we have our guest, Alan Tratner. What an interesting guy. They call him the Minister of Ideas. I think Oprah gave him that title. Former professor of environment and energy, co-founder of Earth Day, director of the Green Business Conference of Eco Expo, and founder of Green to Gold Incubators. Those are very interesting things. He's going to help us change the way we look at green and at green products. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and connect with us on our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page, or for that matter, any of our personal fan pages, and we've said that over and over again today. We just want to connect with everybody. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems. Change your water, change your life, and love and miracles. Learn more about them, too, by visiting our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee and Stacey Hess, and our show producers, Mark Skelton and John Snow, and Mark Leger, and Seth, our engineer, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next...